As Jane Ann said, the story from Genesis this morning is undoubtedly a hard story to understand. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Carla has to say beyond the words of Genesis so that we really get some meaning and some understanding. This story is often called the binding of Isaac. And you'll remember that Isaac was the son, the long-awaited son of the patriarch Abraham. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son, Isaac. He cut wood for the burnt offering, and he set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son, Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I do not like this story. When we decided to preach on the book of Genesis for the month of June, Genesis 22 fell on my Sunday. Needless to say, I lamented to my clergy colleagues a lot because I do not like this story. So being the loving and compassionate and supportive colleague, Jane Ann Ferguson brought to me these books. She thought that these would give me inspiration for this text. You see, books and books and books and article after article have written to explain this text. Chapter 1. I'm just kidding. To sum it up, the scripture reading is troubling, and it's disturbing. So here's what Hal said. He said, and God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac, and take him to a yet to be determined place and offer him there as a burnt offering. So Abraham and Isaac and two servants walked for 3 days. Abraham cuts the wood and builds the altar and even binds Isaac and puts him on the altar. And then God provides. God at last provides the ram for the offering. You see, this is not a story for the faint at heart. And God is giving Abraham a test, the ultimate test. This ancient text causes us to ponder what we would do in the situation where God has asked us to sacrifice our most beloved, the thing we love the most in the world. If you were asked to do this, what would you do? Could you offer up your child, a pet, to be sacrificed if God asked you? I don't think I would. I don't think I could. Now, I think about people who are new to church or seeking or questioning and trying to find God, and they hear this scripture today, they must be saying, you guys are crazy. And I don't blame them. But what was Abraham thinking? He cuts the wood. He takes his son on this 3-day journey, knowing that he's being asked to sacrifice his son. Think about it like this. In our modern day headline news, whether it's NPR, MSNBC, Fox News, the headline might read, old man claims to be 114 years old, charged with attempted murder of his teenage son, says he heard a voice from God who told him to do it. So this headline is not too far from our scripture. And if I heard this, I'd probably have some not so nice thoughts about this headline. And this scripture causes us to ask questions. So many questions. We are in the book of Genesis. This scripture is in the Bible. So what do we do? Poo-poo it? Because it's so far-fetched? To be faithful, do we have to give up what we treasure, what we love the most in the world? And is that what faith looks like? As Christians, do we say we will come to church as long as it fits our lifestyle and doesn't inconvenience us? Do we pick and choose the things we can live with? Or do we praise Abraham for having the ultimate faith in God? What is it that Abraham knew? What is it that Abraham saw that isn't in today's text? Did Abraham go up to the mountain with the confidence of knowing actually exactly what God's intent was? Or, as the headline reads, was Abraham crazy, risking his own life for God's test of his faithfulness? After all, multiple times in the scripture, Abraham answers God, saying, here I am. And the details of this trip up the mountain are agonizing. Silence for 3 days. Jane Ann said, it's a heavy topic, and it is a heavy topic. and the feelings are heavy, and the situation makes us wonder, how can there be a positive outcome? We know this in life, that we ache for the word to come to God. We ache for that sign that God is with us. God is often silent in our lives, and in that silence, we fill space with our thoughts. And what does this silence mean for you? Is it comforting? Contemplative? Isn't the confidence that something is brewing and you're waiting patiently and lovingly? Or does it trigger thoughts of wondering where God is, or if God even exists? And yet the story of Abraham and Isaac, even in the silence of this horrifying situation, one that we struggle with to embrace, we know that God was present. Because do we only experience the fear of God in Scripture, or do we live it out in our daily lives? Do you absolutely, unequivocally believe that God will provide in our daily challenges and in the unbelievable test of faith? Do we experience God with unconditional obedience and unwavering trust, undeniable submission with the absolute faith in God? We must trust that Abraham saw something. Context is important here, and we're only getting a few verses. Yet this disruptive text calls us to wrestle with faith, and especially trust in God. This disruptive text exists to help us make sense of our most difficult experiences, when it feels like God seems to take back everything we received from God's hands. Yet the point is to stay in relationship with God, even when our world turns upside down. Still, I have more questions. And that's what I love about the UCC and Plymouth. We're in covenant together. We do not tell anyone what to believe, how to believe. We wrestle. No shame, no guilt. It's part of the journey. And this relationship with God means that we recognize that believing in God is not simply to affirm a fact, but to engage, to know God, and to be known by God. This story of Abraham, God, and Isaac is the place we go when we are beyond anything we thought could or would happen, beyond anything we imagined that God would ever ask us to do. To move more deeply into relationship with God in this concept we call faith, and to let go and accept that God is leading. So, want to know why I don't like this scripture? It triggers me. It tests my faith. It tests how far am I willing to go to trust God. It causes me to question how faithful I am. And honestly, I think I'm pretty faithful, yet not as faithful as Abraham. It calls into question my strength of my relationship with God, because relationships take effort. And I have some work to do. What about you? What gets in the way of your absolute trust and faith? God who we find in the beauty of nature, in the blessings of new birth, in love of family, the kindness of strangers, is also with us in the most difficult and horrific times. Abraham saw something. Even though God puts Abraham in this impossible situation, it's trust coming from being in relationship. God and Abraham, it's trust and being in relationship with us and God, you and God, me and God, that when we are in the depths of a horrible, downright disruptive situation, we know that life and life with God are the same thing. Because what's the alternative? What if Abraham didn't trust God? The answer to the test is that sometimes being in relationship with God hurts beyond our imagination. Sometimes it's bewildering. Sometimes there's silence. And sometimes we have no idea where this relationship is leading us. Now, given a bit of context, not quite this much context, what does that headline news say now? What's appearing on CNN, NPR, MSNBC? What would your headline read? Mine might be something like this. Old man's devotion to God is based on radical trust, something we all seek to achieve. In the end, God does provide. Divine love will always provide, and you can put your trust in that. I don't like this text, and I'm going to wrestle with this for some time. I know my relationship with God can be strengthened, and I think that's a good thing. May it be so. Amen.